closing words to share with you regarding the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are exiting, please do so. We're still conducting business. Otherwise, I kindly ask you to be quiet and observe the comments of our council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the direction of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we do ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then, the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We also ask that you be concise in your statements, and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In addition, Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission, and also individuals supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2017, Eli and Victoria Zakaria.
This is an application to grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 22,500 square feet more or less. Property is located northwest of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, 365 feet southwest of Spencer Lane, the entrance into Hart's Landing subdivision. The 911 address is 20336 John J. Williams Highway, Lewis. The tax map ID is District 334, Map 18, Parcel Number 7. For the benefit of the record and for the commission's, you did receive copies of the site plan on this application and a survey in your packet. The applicant did, in the process of his application, provide a survey site plan for two residential units that the survey site plan depicts the existing improvements on the property. We did receive several agency comments, first one being from Department of Transportation. It was received on February 18th of 2015. It was in the form of a support facilities report and references that the level of service E of John J. Williams Highway will not change as a result of this application. We also received comments from the Sussex Conservation District. They were received on June 9, 2015, in the form of a memorandum, and they referenced that there is one soil type on this property that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after construction, if there is any, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, that no off-site drainage improvements will be required, that it may be possible that on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that no tax ditches are affected. The third agency was the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Their comments were received on June 9th of 2015 in the form of a memorandum, and they referenced that the property is located in the Gosley Creek planning area, that the parcel has not been provided with a sewer connection point, that the project is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sanitary sewer district at this time, that conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study will be required, that when the county does provide sewer service, the on-site system must be abandoned and a direct connection to the central sewer system is mandatory, and that a concept plan is not required at this time. Now, gentlemen, that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application? Oops. Okay, then, what we'll do is we'll move on with our agenda. And we'll come back to this one at the end, and just to make sure that someone doesn't show up in the meantime.
Now, just for the record, the applicant did receive a certified mail advising them that when the public hearings are scheduled for both commission and council.
And I believe that the property is well posted, so there's not any question about that as well.
Including as of this afternoon when I wrote about it.
All right, then. Well, we'll move on to our next public hearing. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2008, David Clark Lankford.
For the benefit of the record, this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a sporting goods business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 11,473 square feet, more or less. Property is located at the southwest corner of Thorpe Road, being Road 534, and Brown Street, and at the northwest corner of Charles Street and Brown Street, with a 911 address of 9636 Thorpe Road, Seaford, with a tax map ID of District 331, Map 6, Parcel 89. Again, gentlemen, for the record, you did receive a copy of the survey site plan for this application in your packet. That survey and site plan depicts the existing improvements on the property. Again, we did receive three agency comments. First one being from DelDOT, which was received on March 16th of 2015. It is in the form of a support facilities report and references that the level of service A of Thorpe Road could change to a level of service B based on this application. The second agency comment was the Conservation District. It was received on June 9th of 2015, again in the form of a memorandum and referencing that there is one soil type on this property that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction, if there is any, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, that no off-site drainage improvements will be required, that it is not likely that any on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that no tax ditches are affected. The third agency comment is from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. It was received on June 9, 2015, again in the form of a memorandum and references that the property is not in a proposed or current county operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district, that the site is located in the City of Seaford growth and annexation area, that a sewer connection point is not available, that the project is not capable of being annexed into the county operated sanitary sewer district, that conformity to the Western Sussex planning study will be required, and that a concept plan is not required. We also received a letter on June 5th of 2015 from Robert Harding and Betty Harding in opposition to the application due to a past history of numerous problems on the applicant's property, such as parking of trailers, vehicles, motorhomes, barking dogs, ATVs running in the streets, and vehicle tags lacking compliance with state law. And to date, that's all I've received on this application.
All right, sir, we thank you. And I'm just betting that you're Mr. Lankford. All right, sir. Come on up here and give us your name and address.
My name is David Clark Lankford, 9636 Tharp Road, Seaford.
All
right, good evening, Mr. Langford. You heard what our director read into the record on your behalf. Do you have anything you would like to add?
As far as the violations, I've taken care of my dogs. The vehicle was not mine.
Okay.
It's been taken care of. I've lived in the house for about 11 years. I've done nothing but improve my property since I've been there.
Okay.
It has been a slow process. I worked long hours. I wasn't home a lot. Now I'm disabled. I'm home a lot. And it's made a difference.
Okay.
As far as what I'm proposing, I want a small sporting goods shop in my garage. There's no construction other than putting a single entrance door in the side of it, and interior work. I don't want anything big. I want something small that can help support me and my wife as we get older. I've only been in three businesses in my life: heavy equipment, construction. I've been the director and vice president of a private school in Salisbury for 20 years. And the gun shop business for 5 years, which was Langford's Gun Shop in Seaford, Delaware. Like I said, I don't want anything big. Parking's not a problem. My driveway goes from Tharp Road. It runs directly through to Charles Street. I also have parking available to the back of my property. I did do a few drawings. If you'd
okay, if you would, have it. You would hand them to our attorney there, he'll take a look at them and pass
sure.
them down to us.
Like I said, we had a small gun shop in Seaford, Delaware for approximately 5 years with my father. He has since passed away. And during that time, most of the time in shops like this, you've only got three or four customers at the most at one time. I do not want anything large. If for some reason I do see the progression, I'll be having to get a storefront. I don't really want that. So I'm wanting to keep it small. Small inventory, small space. Not a lot of advertising, a lot of word of mouth. That's basically.
Okay. Will your sporting goods include firearms and ammunition?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Clothes, hunting accessories, yes.
All right, then let's see if anyone else on the commission has any questions for you.
Okay.
We'll start with Mr. Smith here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Langford. In regards to the parking,
yes.
And the fence that you show on your site plan,
correct.
Are you prepared to surrender some of that fence if you needed to increase your parking area?
If necessary, yes.
Necessary, uh-huh. Now, I've seen the site, and I'm sure the other commissioners have as well, and certainly you live there. Would you be kind enough, just for the record, to describe the general character of the area or neighborhood where you currently reside
yes,
and would like to have
sure.
the shop?
Across the street from me is the old Friel property. It is owned by the Salmons. There is a taxidermy shop in there. That is open most every day of the week and weekends. Basically, it's mostly residential. There are some people that run some businesses from their home. Other than that, as far as I know from looking on the internet, I did not see any commercial areas or anything that's been rezoned commercial. As far as conditional, it didn't show me that on the internet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure about if anybody else has a conditional. Most everything is residential, agricultural.
And the other businesses in the area, would they be such that they would be, in your consideration, they would be owner-occupant type businesses?
Yes.
Or do they attract people to their business, or would they be, they do, so they...
One does, yes.
The taxidermy
right.
show.
But from what I consider, he's considered a craft, is when I checked into it, you know, and asked about it.
And you said you would prefer to keep this low key. Would that be you would not be requesting a sign of any type?
The only thing that I would like is something small telling them where to come and park. You know, so I'm Langford's Gun Shop, parking in rear, parking in the driveway only, something to direct people as to where to go. Other than that, no.
Do you have a vision for what your days and hours of operation would be?
It's basically like 10 to 6, 10 to 7, Tuesday through Friday, possibly Saturdays. It depends on how my health is.
And you reside on the premises, I'm guessing.
That's
the
correct.
Employees would be you and perhaps your wife?
My wife and my son, yes. The business itself is and my wife and son. And the FFL, Federal Firearms License, is being registered in their name. I really, you know, my health's not that great. I'm trying to stay out of everything because when you start something like this, if something happens to you, it's kind of hard getting licenses changed over and stuff like that. And I don't want them to have to go through that.
Well, we want to wish you the best with your health. That is for sure. Thank you. You've done a good job representing. I'd like to ask Mr. Lank if he knows where this property is located between Tharp and Charles Street. That's a recorded subdivision?
It's a recorded subdivision of pre-existing zoning. The lots are typically smaller than the normal agriculture residential size lot.
And are we as a commission, are we directed to any precedents that may or may not have been set insofar as how we've treated conditional uses in such residential districts?
No, the lot exists. It is small, but it does exist already in pre-existing zoning. You still get and give it consideration, even though the lot's undersized.
The lot is, a quarter acre? Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Langford.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross.
In following up on that last question, Mr. Lank, I mean, do we have any, isn't it usually the procedure of the commission to not allow conditional uses in recorded subdivisions?
We've had conditional uses in recorded subdivisions, but typically they're non-restrictive.
Yeah, where the subdivision doesn't have a set of restrictive covenants.
If they've had restrictive covenants, it's voiced objection
and
lack of permission to do business, then we would have to not even take the application.
Gotcha. Mr. Langford?
Yes.
The space in the drawing, and I was by there yesterday, how do the cars get back to the parking around the dwelling and the shed? I mean, it's very tight there to the property. Is there room for a car to get between the property line and the corners of the one-story frame building and the fence line you have drawn? How do they get back there?
Basically, behind that shed, the road line, the edge of the road is actually farther away than it appears on there. And there's enough room to pull a car straight ahead behind my shed. And also, there's enough room in my driveway to park three cars and still be able to get completely through the driveway if they wanted to drive directly through.
Okay.
Or off of Middle Ford to Brown and Charles, or off of Tharp to Brown and Charles.
And Mr. Lank, what are the setbacks for the parking?
Well, typically the commission has to look at parking in front yards. The difficulty with this lot is the house that's non-conforming and takes up most of the space. So parking on either one of the Tharp Road or Charles Street would require the commission to approve parking in the front yard setback if it's available space there. It's very difficult.
It doesn't appear as if it's there.
Yeah, the space there's nowhere on the site unless you took out the fenced-in area where you could get a couple of parking spaces to meet to be in compliance with the residential use of the property and the commercial use of the property if it's approved, to be able to get a place for cars to pull in and turn around and drive out, because you typically do not allow for conditional uses or business type uses to back directly out into a street.
Okay. You mentioned you're going to have some firearms and ammo. Are you going to have a security system?
I already have alarm system in the house. I'm going to upgrade it with a little more in the garage, in the shop. I've got fire, burglar, and it's also cell backup.
Do you have like a safe or something?
Yes, I do have a safe.
All that stuff will be stored in a safe plus the security.
I have one now for my personal, and I'll be getting at least one more for the shop, yes. And I will be putting bars on the two small windows and the two doors, entrance doors that I'll have there. One goes to my backyard, the other one will be for the shop entrance if it's approved. The bars will be indoors, not out. I don't like the looks of them outside. I'd rather have them inside myself.
That's all, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Who would be working in this business?
It will mainly be me in there during the day, my son on the weekends, my wife when she gets home.
And does your son reside with you?
No, not at this time.
Counsel, what's the requirements for it to be considered a home-based business?
It sounds like this might be pretty close to it. But I always got to look at that definition. It's family members. The problem that Mr. Langford runs into with home occupations, they're typically, you know, services or, like he mentioned, craft studios, things like that. And they're incidental or secondary to the use of the premises, which is here, but it says provided that no commodity is stored or sold except that what's made on the premises. So that's where he runs into trouble.
But we have for many years approved internet sales, catalog sales, but you're not allowed to have any display on the premise. So basically it would have to be an order, somebody just picks it up, or it's done through the internet, and that's pretty much all that can be done. If his son doesn't live on the premise, he wouldn't be allowed to work for him. It would have to be just him and his wife working the business on the premise. And basically, really in the business, it's just use of the property for that purpose. And as I said, it's pretty much internet and catalog. Internet, basically you go on the internet and make a sale and somebody would pick it up, or you'd ship it, one or the other. And there's quite a few gun shops that are that way. There's the FFL licenses that allow that procedure. They're getting more restrictive all the time, but it does allow for that procedure.
And no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Burton.
I just have one. Are you planning on gun repair or just sales?
Strictly sales.
Sales. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. No repairs. Okay. No manufacturing ammunition, gun. No. Strictly sales. Okay.
All right. Ms. Cornwell?
No comments, questions.
Mr. Blank?
No, I basically made reference that I was going to ask questions to the home occupation type activity and also the parking issues. They've already been addressed.
Okay. All right. Counsel?
No questions. Thanks.
All right, then. Well, Mr. Langford, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application.
Fine.
For anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2018, David Clark Langford. In favor. Yes, sir. Come on up.
My name is Mark Allen, and I live at 10570 Old Furnace Road. And I have an LLC called Brown Street Properties, LLC, that own 15 single-family residences within 700 feet of this proposed gun shop, and I personally don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Do you live there?
No, don't.
Okay.
I'm there pretty much every day.
Okay.
Taking care of houses in the neighborhood, and he has progressively improved his property since he's been there, that I've observed. Front porch, new fence, taking care of his yard. I mean, it's, you know, everybody has a dog that barks on occasion. I know that there are probably, I'm not socially connected with him other than talking to him across the street fence. We've never been out to dinner together. You know, I But as far as a person's maybe right or opportunity to make a few bucks selling something out of a garage, you know, it could be Tupperware or Mary Kay or something else. There are businesses in the neighborhood, many of which are just operational. You know, they've never been before you and asked permission. He is. And I believe he's a very black and white person, straightforward, and I'm sure there will be some conditions on this. Would hope that there would be to alleviate maybe any concerns for those people that have objection to this. I think I've heard concerns about traffic and also about parking, and you guys are good at doing all that. So, but I just want to go on record and say I have no objection to it.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2018? Yes, sir. Come on up, please.
Thank you. I'm Richard Wayne Truitt. I live at 200 Marion Drive, which is about a block away from Mr. Langford. I am very concerned about the parking situation in his place. He says there's a drive-through from Thorpe Road to Charles Street. I tend to disagree with him because most of the time he has his two vehicles parked there, and at times there has been more vehicles plus a motorhome. There is no off-street parking that I can see that you can legally do. It'd be very limited, maybe one or two spaces, if that. There are no shoulders on Charles Street, Brown Street, or Thorpe Road. Thorpe Road is a very heavily traveled road, especially since Walmart and Lowe's has opened up and there's more businesses opening up on the highway, so we're getting an increase in traffic. There are, and the same way with Middle Ford Road, which is the road in back of him. There are adults and children that walk and bike ride in this area, and I just, no matter how small he tries to keep it, I just feel that it would generate too much traffic for this area. It's basically residential, especially Charles Street and Brown Street. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, come on up.
Hi, I'm not a public speaker, so please bear with me. My name's Doug Hearn, and I live at 9610 Tharp Road, right next door to Mr. Langford. And the Langfords are nice people, but to ask the neighbors to accommodate a gun store, that's a lot to ask. A gun shop brings a whole new element to a community, and it won't enhance our small little neighborhood. The Langfords moved into the home in 2003. They purchased the house from their grandparents' estate, the Marinos, who were lovely people. Initially, the Langfords had difficulty understanding boundaries. They began to use our little field for parking, and after several months, I decided to put up a fence. Clark thought he owned the little field. I encouraged Clark at that time to please have his lot surveyed, and that would confirm the boundary lines for him, and he did that. This is a pleasant little neighborhood. We all know our neighbors, even the renters on Brown Street. Peggy, Jeff, Mr. Kennedy, Miss Maddie. They're just wonderful, wonderful neighbors. The Langfords are the neighbors that we know the least. What we do know is their vehicles are registered in the state of Maryland. A large bus-sized motorhome is parked in the drive most of the year. They have three, maybe four, medium-sized dogs. On warm days, you can smell. And the dogs bark when they're left alone. But we can live with those things. That's minor. I don't think, I'm surprised that Mark, the landlord of the renters, would be interested in supporting this. Mark and his wife, Ann, have done an excellent job. They're great landlords, and their rental homes are neat and well kept. and I'm sure that they wouldn't like to live next to a gun store. As a matter of fact, I know they wouldn't, because at the end of the day, when they go home, they go to a lovely remote peninsula surrounded on three sides by woods and water. And their closest neighbor is God and the peaceful beauty of nature. I'm sure the Langfords are nice people, but I don't want to live next to a gun store. I don't think anyone wants to live next to a gun store. That's why Seaford has a business district, and that's why all communities have a business district. My office is in the business district, and there are several storefronts in Seaford ready to accommodate a new business. Of course, there's a lot to consider when you open a business, the type of entity, number of employees, workers' compensation, premise liability, product liability, unemployment taxes, monthly and quarterly reports, hours of operation, bathroom available to the public, that's a new law this spring, impact on neighbors, parking, where are they going to park? The Langfords are awfully nice people, but they live on a small lot. The house was given a kitchen addition in the mid-1980s. The driveway was moved to the edge of our adjoining property line. Then later, a carport was added. Currently, the house with the attached carport is approximately 3 to 4 feet from the property line. I thought the county required a property line setback of at least 10 feet. The house may not be in compliance. I'm an insurance agent. The Langfords are awfully nice people, but I hope they've chatted with their home insurance company. They may be in for a big surprise. I've talked with 4 different home insurance underwriters: Nationwide, State Farm, Allstate, USAA. None of them will continue to insure a home which also has a gun store in the garage. As a matter of fact, they won't provide home insurance policy if there's any business open to the public on the premise. These are the dreaded words a homeowner doesn't want to hear: midterm cancellation. I called Surplus and Excess Lines, a specialty company that insures almost anything. They will not offer a policy for a gun business, guns, ammunition, or both, located in a private home. They suggested Shifting Sands Insurance Company, a company, of course, that doesn't exist. There's already one burnout home in this neighborhood. We don't need another uninsured property. The Langfords are awfully nice people. Perhaps they won't talk to their insurance company. They certainly haven't talked to an insurance company about their car or motorhome situation. About the car and motorhome situation, that is, living in one state and insuring and tagging in another state. Otherwise, they'd be concerned about things like rate evasion or double jeopardy. And we won't speak of the road tax revenue that's lost by the state of Delaware. So what have we got? A small lot, no parking, business that may invite crime, increased traffic, decreased property values, and disruption to a pleasant residential neighborhood. I urge you to please, please do not approve this ordinance.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, if
sure.
I might,
sure.
Sir,
would you be prepared to state for the record, could you tell us what your credentials are?
I'm an insurance agent, and I work for a Nationwide Insurance Company.
Are you regulated by the state of Delaware?
Absolutely.
All right, sir. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
My name is Cynthia Sowers. I live on the 911 address is 24.
Gentlemen, if you'd like to have a conversation, you need to do it out in the lobby, okay? Thank you. We're having a public hearing here. Go ahead.
My address is 24087 Brown Street, which is directly across from the Langfords. I live, my front door and living room windows face their property. That's one of my major objections. I really don't want a business out my front door. I've lived there for 31 years, and I would like for it to stay a quiet residential area. That I think there probably would be some parking concerns. I don't know, you know, if they take their fence down and do their side yard and parking, that would be different. But I just don't want a business out my front door, especially a firearms. And that's basically all I have. Thank you.
All right, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, would anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. You just made it.
My name is Amy Cavallini, and I live at 9557 Tharp Road, which is about a quarter mile up the road. We moved there about 10 years ago, and the traffic has increased over the last 10 years. We have two small children. There's a lot of foot traffic because of Walmart already, and I just do not support it. And I just want to put that on record. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else like to speak in opposition? Going once, twice. All right, then. We'll close the public hearing.
Ask questions.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Can I ask a question to the applicant?
Yes, you
may. For the record.
Sure.
Can you step back up again?
Yeah, sure.
I'm assuming your septic area is located within the fenced in area?
Correct.
All right, that's all. Thank you.
Correct. Can I speak about some of the things that I've heard?
Not typically, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Understand. Anyone else on the commission have any questions? All right, then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1775, Charles R. Allman, Jr.